This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
What is a plantation? Think about it. What is a plantation? Well, if you were to look that up, Google that, you would find that it basically is a large piece of land, a large stretch of land that is dedicated primarily to one crop for profit. It might be sugar. It might be tobacco. It might be cotton. It might be some kind of tree, a plantation, where a large swap of land is actually dedicated to a crop for profit. Well, in America, we had plantations, didn't we? We had tobacco plantations, and we had cotton plantations. And those are the two primary plantations that we think of. Doesn't mean there weren't any other, but we did have those. And they had to be staffed by people who would work in the plantations. And so the staffing for most of those plantations was actually achieved by importing it from other countries, right? Primarily from Africa. In fact, the worst plantations and the worst example of slavery had to do with the Caribbean. That's where the major portion of the slaves actually were imported. But what if the immigration problem in our country today is actually a very similar application to plantation economics? That in fact, there are forces that actually desire, in order for capital or income to be generated through large businesses, even, yes, plantations, large acreages of land that are given to strawberries or given to cabbage or given to lettuce or given to cotton or whatever, and they have to be staffed. But staffed by whom? If you look across the country, you'll find that almost invariably they're staffed by Hispanic people. Can you understand then why there is a tremendous motivation within the, well, the business councils across America, the chambers of commerce, who actually are pushing for increasing immigration? And they don't care whether it's legal or illegal. They just want the plantation workers. And which party in the country, which political party is most connected with the promotion of massive immigration, regardless of legal status, massive immigration into the country? By definition, then, that particular party is engaged in what you might call plantation politics. Plantation politics. So the very party that says they're against all of that and slavery actually are committing exactly the same thing that they say they're against. Plantation politics. Not only that, but here's an interesting title that came through today. Witches are complaining they cannot cast harmful spells on Donald Trump. It's true. I have it right in front of me. There's no doubt that a morality foreign to America's Judeo-Christian foundation and longtime adherents is afoot on its shores today. So it's not a surprise that President Donald Trump, who has promised to reverse many of the Biden-Harris agenda points, including the illegal immigration, would be considered by some to be the choice closer to God's desires for America than the Democrat nominee Harris. But now some speculation by witches who have made their presence known on social media sites is spurring that conversation. In fact, they're complaining about some kind of protection around Trump that makes it so they can't cast spells on him. I'm not making this up. This is an article that just came out today. Online, the group Witches versus Patriarchy complained that doing spells directly against Trump are not effective, as we might hope, as he seems to have some kind of protection around him. So the recommendation that is coming from Witches versus Patriarchy is to do spells, quote, to help Kamala and the Democrats, unquote. A columnist, Wayne Allen Root, bluntly said that Trump has been chosen by God. Whether you agree with that or not is another point, but that's what he said. He said he's not perfect. He's not a god. He's human. But Trump is clearly chosen by God for this role at this time and place to save America and make America great again. On social media, Trump himself said there's something going on. I mean, perhaps it's God wanting me to be president to save this country. Nobody really knows. All right. All that having been said, we launch into the deep here today with plantation politics, a witch's brew of choices, a witch's brew of choices. And I welcome you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. It's always conversation with conviction, talk that transforms, and I trust today will be no exception. So we're going to take a look at this through the filter of plantation politics. That's the open viewpoint, and we began by taking a look at the very essence of plantations, what they are, large groups of land that are dedicated for cash purposes, in other words, to make a profit, to raise a given crop for the benefit of the owner of the plantation. Well, let's say that the plantation then is political. Who are the owners of the plantation? Well, the owners of the plantation are those who seem or think they're going to get the benefit from the crop and from those that are working the plantation. So who, for instance, does the Democrat Party think is going to get the benefit from the massive flux of illegals into this country from below our border? Well, it's the Democrat Party. That's who they believe that they're going to get the benefit, whether it spells money, whether it spells power, whether it spells votes. There's going to be a benefit that flows, and that's why they're fostering and fomenting and facilitating illegal immigration in massive amounts. Well, plantations are about a big deal, aren't they? They're not about a small-time garden. They're not about some sort of a small plot of land where you go out and you're going to have a nice victory garden. No, they're a big deal. Plantations are a big, big deal. But somebody has to work them. And the plantation that we're looking at politically is being worked by the facilitation of the Democrat Party by the illegal importing of workers called Hispanics from south of the border. Is anybody listening? We'll be right back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
The Gibbs Museum has launched a very unusual plantation art display. It's called Landscape of Slavery, the Plantation in America Art. Brings together an astonishing array of images spanning more than 200 years. The thematic consistency results in an extended conversation about the meaning of the plantation across chronological and cultural divides. So we're discussing that here today, not by drawing pictures, not by painting pictures, but maybe so with words. So in many minds, they say the historical plantation is synonymous with slavery. Well, we just described how indeed that's exactly what's happening. That's exactly what's happening because the business councils of America, the bigger they are clamoring, supporting plantation politics. In other words, bring more and more and more immigrants across the border in order to work our fields because Americans won't work them. So we need to have more and more Hispanics to come across. And so the Democrat Party says, yes, we agree with that. And so we're going to bring them across, and we're going to bring them across by the millions. So now, depending on who you talk to, somewhere around 20 million such illegal immigrants have come across the southern border in the last 3.5 years. For what purpose? Well, the plantation owners will tell you that it's because of compassion. It's because of compassion. Because here these people are in need of a job and they're in need of hope because their own countries aren't providing it. Well, it sounds to me like it's the same arguments that were made there in Africa. Tribes needed to get slaves in order to win battles against their political enemies. And so they went out and they captured slaves from other tribes and marketed them to the Europeans and to the Arabs and then across the Atlantic to the Caribbean and also to America. Who were the primary recipients of this over the years as politics began to be involved? It was the Democrat Party. In fact, it was the Republican Party that resisted slavery, the anti-slavery movement, not the Democrat Party, because there wasn't any compassion by the Democrat Party. But then if you're going to import more and more and more people, you have to justify it somehow, and you call it compassion. But is it really compassionate? And compassionate for whom? Well, the unfortunate thing is that it's taking away massive numbers of jobs for people that were already citizens of the country. All so that Democrat followers, politicians, and the businessmen that are keeping them, these plantation, this political plantation in force, are desperately crying for the workers. Does that sound any different than the ancient South? No, it's the same thing, exactly the same thing. So we have a choice. We have a choice whether to honestly evaluate what's happening or to choose to accept the excuses and rationalizations that are proposed, i.e., for instance, compassion, as if somehow that is justifying the new modern form of slavery. Think about it. Isn't it worth thinking about anyway? Now, there's a sense in which, you know, even during the, you recall during the Industrial Revolution, children were used the same way. Children were used in American industry by big businesses, right? Why? Because it was cheap labor. And they could keep them working because there were no laws to prohibit it. They could keep them working for 10, 12 hours at a time, pay them very, very little. And then finally, in real compassion, laws were passed to prevent that from taking place. We do have laws that have been passed to keep illegal immigration from taking place, but they have not been honored. In fact, they have been rejected by the very party that during the South, after the Emancipation Proclamation continued to push for slavery in the South. What party was that? The Democrat Party. The history of it is so complete. So complete, friends, that there's no argument about it. It's clear cut. So where is the compassion then that motivates this? It's not real compassion for the most part. People are being sold a bill of goods. People who are not involved in getting the benefits of this are being manipulated by the word compassion to justify the illegal assimilation of millions and millions of illegals across the country. And it's terrifying. It's tearing up the families of the illegals. It's also bringing hundreds of thousands of criminals, all justified in the name of compassion to build and facilitate America's mega businesses. Think about that. Is that something driven by Republicans and Republican policy? No. It's driven exclusively by Democrat policy. So we have a witch's brew of choices, and that's not the only one. We have a lot of things like that. And here, as we see that witches are not able to cast spells on Mr. Trump, by their own admission, something is wrong. They just can't seem to do it. Why is it they want to cast spells to benefit and advance the cause of Kamala Harris? Have you thought about that? Maybe it's because she came out just this last week and blasphemously and arrogantly laughed and declared that Christians were not welcome in her rally, that Jesus was not Lord in her rally, and that they should go down the street to Trump's rally. That's what she said, and then laughed to high heaven about it. What does that tell you? Which plantation are you wanting to live in? Are you wanting to live in a plantation that mocks God, like Barack Obama did when he was running his second time around, covered over an image of Jesus because he didn't want that to be seen, allowed himself to be called the Messiah over and over and over and over again? Is that the plantation you want to belong to? It's just a question. What plantation do you want to belong to? Plantation politics. Now, that's not all. How about the family? How about the family? Here's an article that came out beyond disturbing. Biden-Harris pushed judges to bring gender lunacy into court and break up family relationships. Parents increasingly find family court judges who make life-changing decisions involving children. They have fully bought into the agenda pushed by Biden-Harris administration-backed transgender activists. In 2023, the Department of Justice issued a $1 million grant to integrate gender ideology into juvenile justice and child welfare systems nationwide. The grant awarded to the National Council of Juvenile and Family Court Judges established a resource center to train judges, child welfare workers, and other professionals involved with the juvenile justice system on sexuality and gender identity. The materials encourage judges to adopt an ideological framework that pits children against parents and parents against children who do not support their self-selected identities. Gender identity is now being used as a cudgel to essentially break up family relationships. This is especially so in cases where parents are not affirming the gender identity of their minor children, which the responsibility goes to them from God, not from government. So which plantation do you want to live under? One that puts the primary responsibility on government or on God's word? Elected state judges are able to initiate child protective services and investigations, or even send children to foster care, even take the kids from their parents. Totally. That's what California says. You either agree or your children will be taken away. Do you want to live in that plantation, friends? That's the plantation that Biden-Harris are seeking to spread all over the country. It's true. I practiced law for 20 years, back from 1975 to 1994, in Southern California. I watched the trajectory of all of this. I watched how judges then were using Children Protective Services as a means to control and take over families. It was a painful thing to watch, and that was then. Since then, it has magnified itself on steroids, and the Biden-Harris administration have been pushing it to the max, including former President Barack Hussein Obama, who sought to impose that plantation thinking on the nations of Africa, including the killing of their children through abortion. Do you remember that? And the presidents of the nations of Africa said, no, we are not going to adopt your agenda. We're not going to move our countries into your plantation, Mr. Obama. We're not going to do that. But that's what Biden-Harris want to do. That's what Ms. Harris wants to do. That's their agenda. It's a plantation, friends, that is going to take away parental freedom in the name of wokeness. God says, I give parents responsibility to raise their children. Harris says, no, government has that primary responsibility, and you're raising the children for our plantation, to work in our plantation. Are you listening, my friend? This is the reality of where we are. So we have a lot of professing Christians that are troubled. They're really disturbed and trying to figure out, what do I do? I want to be compassionate, and I have tender feelings for the immigrants coming in, the people that are suffering in different ways. Yes, we should. But that doesn't mean we should adopt an ulterior agenda, that motivation of which is not compassion at all. It's about money, and it's about power. Power, perks, and position. It's not about compassion at all. Compassion is being used as a manipulative word to gain your affection for their plantation. But wait until you have to live under it. Do you think the majority of the slaves in antebellum America felt blessed by being under slavery? Was it compassionate for the majority of them? No. It was compassionate for some of them who had slave owners that were actually very kind to them and even brought them into their home. But for the majority of them, no. The same is true here. It's beyond disturbing, friends. Beyond disturbing. The family itself is being crushed to bring men, women, and children under the complete government of a Democrat plantation. We'll be back.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. saveus.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at saveus.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. Let's talk about economics. We've been talking a bit about that in the context of why we would bring in massive numbers of illegal immigrants into the country, which basically are virtual slaves under a new economic system that's designed to keep our large plantations going, including the political plantation of the Democrat Party. They don't believe that they can survive without a massive influx of slaves, illegal immigrants to come in and be able to vote. Otherwise, their agenda will be so transparent that they will be unable to control the rest of the masses who don't want to live in that kind of plantation. So they have to bring them in. So there are two different kinds of economy that are involved. One is money. The other is power. Political power. Political power. Now, here's an interesting illustration. It's an article that just came out today called So Toxic. The great divider Barack Obama can't understand how America got so divided. So he's out there campaigning now, but he once publicly complained to Americans about how they were not like him and blasted them for getting bitter. His own wife said that she was never happy in America until he was elected. So he was condemning how they cling to guns or religion or antipathy to people who aren't like them. But now he says he can't understand how Americans can be so divided. How do we get so toxic, just so divided and so bitter, he said. He did it. He was the leader in toxicity in dividing the country into massive plantations. So then, the report documented Obama's own rhetoric, and that from other Democrats that has fanned the flames of division. So let's go back. Recently, you have probably seen on television how Mr. Obama stood in some sort of, it was a small business of some sort, and he had a group of Black young men gathered around him. And in essence, this is what he said to them. Hey, brothers, aren't you going to stay on our plantation? Surely you're not considering joining the Republicans. You need to stay on the plantation. Isn't that where Blacks belong? That was the implication of what he said. It was stark. What he said, in effect, was Blacks don't have any place in real freedom. They cannot really participate in the greater fruits of the land. They have to stay on the Democrat plantation where the government, the slave owner, provides for their welfare. because you just can't make it on your own. You got to be loyal to the plantation owner. And that's who we are, the Democrat Party. In effect, that's what he was saying, friends. That is the spirit. Now, why would any black person or white person want, or any other color of person, want to live under that attitude? But that's the attitude. You either stay under our plantation authority or else. And if you try to escape, we're going to come after you. And that's what he did. He was coming after black young men that the statistics were showing were fleeing the Democrat plantation politically. They didn't want any part of it. They saw what was happening, and they didn't want any part of it. So he went in there to try to gather them back into the black, into the Democrat plantation, where the Democrat Party could continue to make promises, promises, promises about how wonderful they were going to be cared for by the government without any real, real evidence that any such care was ever manifested. The only care that was ever manifested was on election day or electioneering, promising, promising, promising. Years ago, when I was still living in Pasadena, California, they had a, every quarter, they had a big, big antique show. It was a wonderful thing. My wife and I liked to go to it. And one day, I went in there, and there was a man that had all kinds of documents that were framed. It was very historical documents, just fascinating what he had been able to acquire. And one of them caught my attention because we were on our way to Richmond, Virginia, the capital of the former capital of the Confederacy. And I knew the spirit that we were likely to engage in when we got to Richmond, Virginia, where we're still living. And so here's what it said. It was a, there was a picture of Senator Charles Sumner. I believe the year was 1863. He was a United States Senator, Republican. Next to it was a handwritten note, and here's what the note said: better an empty treasury than a single slave. Do you know what happened to Senator Charles Sumner? Because of that message, he was attacked by Democrat senators on the floor of the United States Senate. And they beat him almost to death with their canes. He never fully recovered. On the floor of the United States Senate, and you talk about violence, you talk about having peace and tranquility. No, the Democrat Party were so toxic and so angry that they might lose their slavish control that they literally almost beat a senator to death right there on the floor of the United States Senate. So I talked to the owner of this, the proprietor of this particular booth, and I said, you know what? I need to get that. But I'm going to go through the various booths out here. There were many of them, and I'm going to come back and I'm going to get it. Well, I came back and it was gone. He had sold it. And I said, you don't understand. Because of what God has called me to do, I need to have that. It really is important. It's important for not just for me, but for our country. He said, well, I'm sorry, I sold it. So the next quarter came around, and I went back to the same guy in the booth, and I said, you know what? Do you remember that particular framed article? Better an empty treasury than a single slave, Senator Charles Sumner? He said, yes. I said, well, do you remember who you sold it to? He said, I sold it to somebody in Nevada. I said, well, is there any way we can get it back? I'll be willing to pay for it. He said, well, I don't see how that can be possible. So I kind of gave up at that point. And 3 months later, we came back again. And as I was walking over to the man's booth, he leaned over and pulled that piece out from under the table. And he said, here it is. I bought it back for you. It hangs on our gallery wall. Better an empty treasury than a single slave. Sponsored by the Republican Party. Just mentioning it for whatever it's worth. Why is it the Democrat Party wants to keep black people and people of color in the plantation? It's obvious. It's for power, perks, and position. That's what it is. It's about money and power. It's not about compassion. It's about coercion and manipulation. And now it appears that many black men are seeing through it. Say, we don't want to play that game anymore. It's not real. It's false. It's a false faith. And if you are truly a follower of Jesus Christ, you can't possibly submit to that. It's counterfeit. It's not driven by faith. It's driven by fear. What am I going to do if I don't stay on the plantation? Are you getting the message? Oh, but that's not all. We're talking about plantation politics here today, a witch's brew of choices. And we've been spending a considerable amount of time regarding the matter of immigration. I think you get the point. But how about the control of communication? Why is it the Democrat Party wants to have complete control over communication? Why is it that Hillary Clinton came out in the last few weeks and said, we have to get control of social media. We can't allow them to continue to communicate freely like this. We have to get control of it so that we can govern what's being said out there to the people. Why do they want to do that? Because that's the only way they can keep you on the plantation. If the other message gets out, like what we're talking about here today, you wouldn't stay on that plantation. You would see through it. But here is the billionaire widow of Steve Jobs, wants to control what you know. This is hyper-liberalism, and this is the agenda. The plantation politics, friends. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
It's amazing to me how easily and willingly people are to be seduced. It's just amazing. Nobody is ever seduced against their will, friends. You have to have a will to be seduced. You just do. There's something in you that's willing to be seduced. And when you have pastors that are complicit in the seduction to protect their own power, perks, and position, and their place in the plantation among the plantation owners, you have profound wickedness. Profound wickedness. You know, I was thinking about abortion. Over 65 million of America's children have lost their lives to their mothers and fathers and pastors and doctors. But why? Where did all this start? What was the root of this? Would you like to know? It goes back to a woman by the name of Margaret Sanger. Does that name ring a familiar bell? Decades ago, Margaret Sanger was profoundly against the black community. She despised Negroes. So she devised a way to create a system that was marketed or sold to black pastors. That this was going to be for the benefit, the economic benefit of their people, to get them to abort their kids. So she couldn't get the message through directly to the black family. She had to use the instrumentality of the black pastor, who had the premier place of authority in the black family. So that's what she did. She moved to the black pastors to convince them to carry that agenda to the families. As a result of that, over 15 million black children have been killed at the hands of their mothers, their fathers, their doctors, and their pastors, and politicians. They're all complicit. 15 million. So of the, if you were to figure it out, of the 65 million, or actually it's more like 18 million now. That was the figure a few years ago. It's about 18 million. So if you were to divide this out with 65 million or so total abortions in the country and blacks 18 million, you would find out that even though blacks only consist of 12% of the population, they make up more than 25% of the abortions. Why? Because Margaret Sanger's goal was to decimate the black family so that they couldn't procreate and take over the country. Are you listening? And pastors were complicit in it and still are. And because this was all marketed under the aegis of the Democrat Party, the plantation, they owed their soul not to God, but to government under the plantation. And so they perpetuated it to this day. Why is it that you think Kamala Harris is going to black churches to market her abortion promises? Because she knows that's where the power is. The power to decimate the black family. It's not about compassion, my friends. It's about destruction. Now, the spirit of this is so great that it's almost impossible even for a Republican politician or Donald Trump or anybody else to come against it wholeheartedly. You can say, I'm pro-life. But when 60-70% of the people, including professing Christians, white or black or brown, are willing to buy into this deception, what is a leader supposed to do? Well, we got rid of Roe versus Wade. Now it's up to the states. There's no ability for a politician right now. I'm going to speak very bluntly to you. You may be the strongest pro-life person in the world. I just talked to one this afternoon who called me and discussed some of these things with me. Very concerned. There's no ability for a politician right now to come out with an exclusively pro-life agenda that says we're going to pass a federal law to prohibit all abortions or abortions other than for the life of the mother and so on. There's no way, because the hearts of the people are not there. And so the states are going to have to make that decision right now. Until the hearts of the people in the states decide this is one of the most heinous, destructive things ever to occur in the name of God Bless America. So, am I happy that the wife, Melania Trump, came out and said, well, it's the woman's choice? I'm not happy about that at all. But under the current circumstances in this country, there is no political ability to eradicate abortion. There just isn't. The hearts of the people are not there. When the latest report that came down this week that by far the majority of Christians today, professing Christians in this country, are engaged in pornography and are justifying it as okay. You see, the hearts of the people are not there. As Don Hotell and Randy Tate said, who were heading up the Christian Coalition a couple of decades ago, America, if you fill every elective office in this country with professing Christians of the ilk that we have today, America is still not going to change. America will not change until the hearts of the people change, including yours. Black, white, brown, it doesn't matter. We all flow with red blood. And if we're not flowing with the blood of Christ, we're in rebellion to him. I don't care what color you are and how many churches you go to or how many pastors you can name. The seduction is so great, friends. I want to urge you to get a copy of my book, Seduction of the Saints, How to Stay Pure in a World of Deception. It's not about politics. It's not about politics at all. It's about the principles of how we are assaulted with deception and seduction and how it is we capitulate to it and how to stand in the evil day. You think we're in an evil day? You better believe it, my friends. These are perilous times. These are politics of perilous times, plantation politics. The book, an $18 book, yours for $15, Seduction of the Saints. It's one of the best-selling books we have ever had because it is so practical. $15 on our website, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. The billionaire widow of Steve Jobs now has joined with Kamala Harris for the plantation to use her billions of dollars buying the Atlantic magazine, a far-left publication, in order to control communication, and now she wants to buy the New York Times. It's the whole issue that Hillary Clinton brought up. We have to control the communication. So let's put this in plantation terminology. If a message begins to come through to the slaves out there in the field, the average person out there, that there is a way to freedom, and the slave owner, the plantation owner, finds out about it, what does he want to do? He wants to cut off the communication. He doesn't want the people to hear it. That's what Hillary Clinton is saying, and that's what Lauren Powell Jobs is saying. Want to use their money and their power to control the communication, the press, so that people will only hear their plantation propaganda. It's pretty amazing. Now, there's one other thing that I want to bring up very quickly. A gentleman called me in great passion and distress. He said, I want to vote in a way that pleases God, but I'm very distressed because I know I can't vote for Kamala Harris, but I don't know whether I can vote for Donald Trump. And here's the reason he said. Because he said he was convicted of all bunch of these felonies. So he's a felon, and I don't know if God would permit me to vote for a felon. So here was my answer. Try to listen carefully. Is he really a felon, or was the justice system used by the plantation owners in order to shut up any resistance to the plantation? Was the Department of Justice used as the Department of Injustice, and were the courts choreographed in order to try to bring a person down so that they could not, through politics, disrupt the plantation? Did they feel so threatened that they would have to take any possible step, including lawfare, including economic warfare, whatever it would take, even if it meant assassination? Whatever it would take to cut off the ability to resist the plantation. Remember, as I said, Daniel in the Old Testament, he was a felon in those days. He was convicted of praying when he was ordered not to. They caught him, and he was thrown in the lion's den, and he was given a death sentence. Now, God protected him, but he was given a death sentence. How about the three Hebrew young men? Remember? They were told, among all the others, that they had to bow down to the great statue of Nebuchadnezzar. They refused to bow down. It was considered a felony, like treason. And they were given the death penalty, thrown into the fiery furnace that was heated seven times hotter. Would you be able to vote for them? Would you be able to vote for Daniel? Absolutely. Because what happened under color of law was illegitimate before God. Totally illegitimate before God. What's happened to Donald Trump is totally illegitimate too. Not that he's a perfect man. No way, no how. No way, no how. But that is a spurious argument, friends. Do not yield to that kind of thinking. Because if you do, you would not be able to be elected either. Nobody would, because ain't nobody perfect. So who best leads us to a nation and a world that's more consistent with the principles of trusting God rather than trusting government? You decide. Thanks for joining us here on Viewpoint today. I hope this has been helpful. Get a copy of the book Seduction of the Saints right there on our website, saveus.org.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.